The Burger Krieg Productions 15 Minutes of Fame podcast features Jeffrey Thunders, of the Connecticut-based punk band, The Rats. Here's their song, You're Dead.
Already started this. We're 10 minutes into this conversation. I haven't even introduced you. I have Jeffrey Thunders from The Rats, Connecticut's own The Rats, Lost Riots, Die Hipster Records. I mean, you are a jack of all media trades and you sling bread. So, I mean, you literally, you're on an island in a sense. So welcome, I guess. That's really first and foremost, welcome.
Well, thanks. I don't feel like I'm on an island.
No.
I feel like there's a lot of people doing the same thing I am, but I appreciate what you just said.
You've decided to come back and allow me to torture you for, you know, a half hour or whatever on the Burger Krieg Productions 50 Minutes of Fame podcast. So here we are. We're talking about stingy record collectors and tapes and all that shit. So it's good to have you back.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you asking me to come back.
Dude, absolutely.
My scars are starting to close up and everything from the lashing I got last time.
It's good to know. We want to discourage any infection, as it were. So I want to know. Now, before you landed on the name The Rats, were there any other band names that kind of made the short list? Or
yes.
Was it always The Rats?
There was one other band name, and it was actually on the original flyer for the first rap show. And then Matt Malarkey redid the flyer and put The Rats on there because we changed the name. It was originally called Jeffrey Thunders and the Brokenhearted.
Ooh.
As, you know, obvious spinoff of the Johnny Thunders and the Heartbreakers.
Mm-hmm.
So it was that for about 2 weeks. Which was actually the length of the band before our first show.
So was there, I'm trying to think here, did that first show, so that was the first Rat show proper then, after the band had changed its name, correct?
We didn't play a single show under a different name. We've always played, since our first show, we've been The Rats. But yeah, before that, it was Jeffrey Thunders and the Brokenhearted.
That's actually a really great side project name. Not for anything. I know you have like the Scabs and everything, but that's a really great, it's either that or that would be almost like an album. I feel like that could be an album as well. Chronicling you and your musical endeavors or something along those lines. Jeffrey Thunders and the Brokenhearted. I like it.
It is a cool name. I just feel like people say, Jesus Christ, this dude's doing something else.
He's doing one more thing.
It's going to sound the
same. So it not only, yeah, as we had mentioned, not only do you have a number of side projects, endeavors, includes, you know, the Scabs, Lost Riots, Die Hipster Records. You also have a blog that I've been thankfully featured upon. My band Lurking Class has gotten some love on there. Connecticut Garage Punk. I want you to tell me a little bit about this blog. You know, how do you personally go about selecting bands and albums to either, you know, interviewing bands, reviewing albums? How do you go? What is the selection process like for you?
Just kind of hit somebody up and be like, hey, do you want to do an interview?
It's that easy.
It's really easy. Yeah. I mean, there have been, right now, there's probably about a half a dozen interviews floating out there that I haven't gotten back. But I'm looking at it like, hey, if you don't want to give your band free promotion, you know, I'm not going to bug you.
Right. No,
I'm not going to mention names. They may listen to this and be like, oh, shit, I got to get back with Jeff. But, yeah, like the most recent interview I did with a guy, Max, from the Virginia band, LJ and the Sleaze.
Mm-hmm.
I just hit him up and I was like, hey, man, do you want to do an interview for this blog? And what I'll do is I'll send like a previous interview I did so they could look at it. And he got back to me. He's like, let's do it. So I try not to have the same questions every interview, but some of them I have to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing about that is I had that years ago and I kind of put it away. And then because of COVID, I brought it back out. And the thing is, in Connecticut, there's no garage bands. There's a few. But, you know, it's all punk and hardcore, which no problem with that. I love punk. I love hardcore. But there's this whole other realm of punk rock that has these great bands that nobody knows about. And that's all I'm trying to do is, like, have people in the area be like, oh, crap, that band's really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Even a situation like you guys, like Lurking Class. You know? There's people in Connecticut that don't know Lurking Class. You know, there's that list of 10 bands to check out or whatever I just did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody in Connecticut sees that and is like, oh, this band's awesome. You know, and then they see, oh, crap, they're coming to New Haven.
Mm-hmm.
I need to go check them out. Like, I mean, it's just little things like that. I don't know if that answered your question, but.
Yeah, no, it does.
Basically, I'll just hit you up and be like, hey, Lou, you want to do an interview? You'll be like, yeah, I'll do it. And then I'll send you a question.
Well, no, it's, you know, you did answer the question, and I think that's, you know, I mentioned, like, you do things selflessly, right? There's obviously a point to why you do things, but it's for the betterment of the scene. It's to spread the word. And I think that's, you know, at the end of it, that's really the most, like, you know, that's the most punk rock thing that one can do. It's like just attempting to build the scene and make people aware of things, you know, because, like, I'm sure we cross paths in our way of thinking a number of times, but it's like I do this shit because I love it, because I want to do it, you know? It's yeah. Like in order for bands of the same caliber of or I guess the same like subgenre or genre of music, it's like high tide raises all fucking boats typically. So it's like, let's spread the word about each other. Let's direct traffic. Let's try and fucking make something happen. You know, that to me is, that's what it's all about, you know?
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to do. So, like, when things, they're slowly opening back up, when they do open back up,
mm-hmm.
you know, bring one of those bands that I mentioned to. I've already talked to Max from LJ and the Sleeve. Bring him up when they come up on tour.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, I just want to have fun. I want to have fun. I want to talk to people that want to have fun and like music.
Mm-hmm. No, you actually brought up another interesting point about asking questions and ensuring that they're not the same, but sometimes you have to ask the same questions. That is something yeah. that I feel like any decent journalist struggles with. And I don't want to say struggles with, but like there are a number of questions that I've even, you know, season 3 right now, it's like 33 episodes of fucking season. It's like, I ask some questions that are the same to various artists, but I don't do it for every single artist. It's like, I will tweak things based on who, you know, who I'm interviewing and what the genre music is and all that type of stuff. Because each, in my opinion, it's like each musician is interesting to me for different reasons, and they all have their own like stories. So it's like,
yeah.
You're going to answer a question differently about blank than someone who's, I don't know, fucking straight up like metalcore, you know, or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's like, I want to hear all that. So it is somewhat of a struggle. I will say getting creative with it is always something that pushes you to the next level. And speaking of being creative, I know last time you were on, we played a game. Okay. Now we're going to play a game today, and it's moderately new. Well, it is brand new. I fucking lied. It's brand new. This game is called Alphabet Soup. And today's letter is B. And how this works is I'm going to give you two words that start with the letter B. And you're going to choose one of those words and tell me why you went with that choice. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Jeffrey, would you rather drink a beer or would you rather sip bourbon?
Rather drink a beer.
Okay. Would you rather listen to Bad Religion or Bad Brains?
Oh, Bad Brain.
Why?
No doubt.
Why?
Bad Religion songs are way too long for me. And they're too smart.
Oh,
they're just
okay.
Too smart.
I can respect that. I was going to say, I was thinking about it. I was like, really? I was like, Bad Religion songs are too small. It's like, I can see. I mean, like, even Shit Off No Control and Suffer, it's like, there's some pretty short-ass fucking anthem-y songs. But it's like, I know, like, the 90s era Bad Religion definitely got a little bit more long-winded. But I agree with you with the smart thing. They're extremely intelligent. Greg Graffin's extremely intelligent. Moving on. Would you rather eat a burger or would you rather eat a brat, like a bratwurst?
I'd eat a burger.
What is your...
I don't eat a lot of meat. That's the problem.
Oh, okay. So I'm learning something new then. So how about this? Would you rather...
I had a burger for the first time. Saturday, I had a burger for the first time in about a year and a half, 2 years maybe. So I'll go with burger. For the sake of the game, I'm eating a burger.
Okay. Well, as a follow-up to that, would you rather eat broccoli or beans?
Ooh, what kind of beans are we talking here? I'm going to go beans, no matter what. Don't even tell me. I'll eat beans.
You'd rather
eat
beans?
A whole bunch of beans in front of me. I'll eat them.
So it was, to make it in line with the answer, it was either going to be broccoli or I was going to do like fresh green beans or, you know, steamed or whatever. But it was going to be green beans, to be honest with you. But you're going with beans. Awesome.
Okay.
All right, would you rather watch Bad Santa or Bad Grandpa? And if you haven't seen either of those, that's fine too.
I'm going to go with Bad Grandpa.
Okay. I mean, you can't really go wrong with a giant Knoxville joint, in my opinion. So, excellent answer. Last question. Would you rather deal with a broken finger or a broken toe?
Either one's going to suck for work.
Mm-hmm.
Broken toe. Just tape that shit up and keep going.
Well, thank you for doing a little mental test. We'll call it mental agility. Test here. That was Alphabet Soup. I'm liking these little game segments. They kind of break things up a little bit, so it's cool. So thank you for being a good sport about that.
Yeah, no problem. Last time you had me like eating John Belushi's stool or something like that.
Yeah. This one was
a little bit better.
Well, we're not out of the woods just yet. There might be some fecal chat in here. Now, I wanted to talk about a specific show that you had played with Lost Riots, one of your other groups. Now, you got to open up for Richie Ramone, and I know in our last interview, you shared with me, I believe, a compliment that you had received from CJ. And
correct.
I'm wondering, in your opinion, in your eyes, does having opened up for a couple Ramones, members of one of the greatest, you know, punk bands of all time, in my opinion, does that merit some sort of street cred in your eyes? Like, especially because, you know, of where we are on the East Coast, those bands, you know, Ramones originated from this area.
Yeah. I think if there was going to be any show, which I'll throw a third one in there, we also opened up for Marky Ramone.
Oh, wow.
So I feel like maybe that show gave us a little, I don't know. I don't think we ever had street cred to begin with. But I think if anyone, it would have been that show. And it was that tour that he did with Andrew WK.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was at Toad's Place, which if anyone knows Toad's Place, it's a decent sized venue, a few hundred people at hold. And it was only us and them and everybody at Toad's. They thought that we were like touring with them. So we got a green room. They were like, do you guys want any beer or anything? We're like, oh yeah, get us like, just bring whatever down, bringing like cases of beer down for us.
That's awesome.
Little did they know I lived down the road.
Now what was the merch table like for Marky? Was he selling his pasta sauce and his beer like at the merch table or was that not available?
I really don't remember, but I feel like it could have been a dream. I feel like there was pasta sauce on the table. I really feel like there was. I think there was a plain white T-shirt that Andrew WK was.
Oh, of course.
Was selling.
Of course.
But they had like fake sweat stains on it.
You can just. It's like I can smell that shirt from the way that you're describing it right now. I'm sure too. I've heard very good things about Andrew WK's live shows. I'm sure it was a riot. Like it was just.
Oh, I've seen him as like his band without Marky. Yeah. he puts on an incredible show. I don't know how that dude does zero cocaine and has that much energy. I have no idea how he does it.
I envy that guy. I'm sure, you know, just based on what you said, his mornings are far less shitty than most people's, for the amount of rage that he spills out on stage, man. It's impressive. Again, from what I've seen, the videos that I've seen, I have not been able to see him in person, but I've heard he's just consummate professional, just super good front man.
Very nice person as well.
Now,
very nice person.
We'll walk back to the Richie show. Obviously, you know, you and I have talked a number of times. I'm sure you've at least listened to one other or two other of these episodes. I'm a huge fan of the Rich era Ramones material. What was that show like for you guys? Packed house? Were people receptive to not only Lost Riots, but Richie? Like, did you get to chat with Richie afterwards? Like, what was that experience like for the band?
It was a packed house. It was at this place called the Space Ballroom. I don't know what the capacity is. I want to say 200 people, 250 maybe. I can't remember who he had on tour, but the locals were the Lost Riots and White Thrash from Danbury. People seemed to enjoy it. Some girl came up to me afterwards, and she worked for Virgin, and she handed me a card and said, "I really like you."
Hmm.
Like, not me personally, the band.
Right.
But I was like, no, definitely not. I did not talk to Richie. I shook his hand, and I said, "Hey, thanks for having us," and that's pretty much it. So I was kind of hanging out before the doors opened with the rest of his band, and they were all super nice people. But yeah, I can't tell you any cool stories about him. I didn't talk to him.
Hey,
but you know, we had a free garbage can full of beer from the venue, so I'm not going to complain about that.
No, well. Not only that, and I would say comparatively so to what you described with the opening up for Markey and Andrew WK, as well as the compliment from CJ. I mean, I would say that each one of those experiences would sound pretty fucking awesome. So,
well, you know, just to be in a room with a Ramone, it's like a whole nother planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people that have played with either CJ or Richie. They're kind of just like, yeah, whatever. But like, come on, man. The freaking Ramones. Like, 90% of us wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just to be in a room with somebody that was, you know, in that band. Just there's different energy. I know, yeah. I keep on using that word tonight, but
no, I think it's
cool.
I think it's one of those things too. The further that time progresses from 1996, right? The further that time progresses away from when that band, you know, hung up those leather jackets, I think it becomes more and more important, at least, and again, this is just my opinion, it's important to see specifically CJ and or Richie, because those two guys continue to put out original music. They're still doing it. I know CJ kind of has hung his jacket up and was like, you know, this is my last tour with this iteration. I know he's doing stuff with Me First and the Gimme Gimmes, but like, and he's done, I think he did one show semi-recently, like him and basically playing some Ramon stuff, his solo stuff. But like, it's important to see those guys because they represent this band that changed everything for everybody, I think, or at the very least impacted so many people. Like you said, 90% of the people wouldn't be doing what we're doing now if it wasn't for those four weirdos from Queens, you know, like that's important.
Yeah. I don't know. Didn't CJ just put out during the whole like COVID pandemic, didn't CJ release the whole album?
No. So that was the year before.
Jesus. What year are we in right now?
2021.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What happened? How did we get here?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. The thing was, it was basically deemed as his quote farewell tour. So I saw him on both the most recent tour and then the American Beauty tour. And yeah, he kind of billed that as like, you know, this is kind of my last time doing this. He moved to California. But yeah, like I said, now he's been doing this stuff with Me First and the Gimme Gimmes. So he's staying busy. You know, he's at least staying, you know, relevant. I don't know how much music he's writing or if he is, but, you know, I know Richie is just pretty much like come back onto the scene with a fucking vengeance. So it's cool to see. It's cool to see that. Because again, I just think he's an extremely talented member of the Ramones that got written off for a very long time. So it's cool to see him back in action.
He was incredible live.
Yeah.
I urge anyone, if Richie's coming to your area, go see him.
So speaking of live performances, the first Rat show in over a year occurred back at the end of May 2021. It was a mixed bill. It was at the Beer Racks in Connecticut. What, I gotta know, what the fuck was it like playing in front of humans again in the flesh?
It was kind of like no time has passed at all. Except everybody seemed very happy and very positive. But yeah, it was almost as if, you know, some people that I didn't see during the whole pandemic, it was just like, hey, how are you? You know, it was nice. It was real nice. Yeah, I really don't have anything bad to say. It was just, you know, like I said, no time passed at all.
How was the response from the crowd? Like being able to see live music again and all that? Was it, because it was during the day too, correct?
Yeah, it was a Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
Just seemed normal, you know, standing kind of to the side with their arms folded. You know, that kind of thing.
Still had to feel good to be back. Had to.
It did, although I keep saying I did enjoy not playing for a little while. Because when you go from playing, like, you know, a couple times or a few times a week, you know, some people need that. Me, I focused my energy towards that whole Scabs recording project. But yeah, it did feel nice to sweat again.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, everybody was... There was one kid who came out where he was kind of running around, but everybody's just sitting there drinking their beers because Beer Act is a brewery. So everybody was just kind of hanging out, drinking their beers.
So I do want to go back to your side project. Well, I should say your quarantine project that split. I do want to go back to that. That's going to be my last question. My second last question. I wanted to give you the opportunity, if you have any plugs, updates, things like that, that you would like to roll out specific to the Rats, Die Hipster, anything like that. If there's anything you want to plug, now would be the, I guess now would be that appropriate moment.
Well, we'll start with physical releases, I guess. The Scabs are doing a split 7-inch with Jay Prozac. I know he's your buddy.
Mm-hmm.
That's on Rat Girl Records. Actually, it's a collaboration with Die Hipster and Rat Girl Records. Don't know when that's coming out, but there is a pre-order for it now. I cannot give you that information because Jay is a beast with that stuff, and he's the one who's really handling it all. The Rats do have a 7-inch coming out. It's being pressed right now, though, and from what we're told, it's going to take 20 weeks, which sounds insane.
Wow.
But, yeah. Eventually, the Rats will have a new 7-inch out. The Lost Riots are not doing anything right now, so I don't have anything there. But the Rats are playing some shows coming up, which you are a part of one.
You recently, and this is my last question, you recently put out a 7-inch split with Jay Prozac, where it's in the process of pre-orders, etc. 7-inch split with Jay Prozac, your side comes under the surname Jeffrey Thunder and the Scabs. I know the Scabs, like, there's a ton of recorded material. Talk to me a little bit about this project, how it came about. I know from what you had just shared with me recently, somewhat of a project out of quarantine, but walk me through that process a little bit, how this all came together.
Well, we actually did do a show a few years ago as the Scat. The Lost Riots were booked on this one show, and our guitar player at the time double booked himself. But what he was, the other show that he double booked with, he was going to get money for. You know, there's no money in punk rock.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, man, you know, what do we do? I didn't want to cancel the show. So I asked Scott Fitch, who is the other Scab. I was like, hey, do you want to play guitar? And our Lost Riots drummer played rhythm guitar, and we got my friend Chad, who ended up staying with the Lost Riots because the other guy moved. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to call the Lost Riots because it's not. So I just, actually, Matt Malarkey, the bass player, came up with the name. He's like, it'd be cool if we were called the Scabs because you hired a bunch of people. So we did a show at the Scabs years ago. And when, actually, it was before COVID even happened, I was talking to Scott Fitch, and I was like, hey, what, you want to release a single a month? I said, how cool would that be? And he's like, all right. He's like, what do you want to call it? And I was like, well, we already, like, kind of was out there as the Scabs. Let's just call it that. So that was how it happened. You know, and we released either an EP or a single every month for, actually, up until now, from January 2020 to June 2021, we have released something every month.
Jeez, dude.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It's all file sharing stuff. And, you know, I'll give Scott 99.9% of the credit. The only reason why I'm giving myself that little sliver is because I shouted into the laptop.
That's funny.
But that's a Scab. The last thing we put out was a Ramones cover.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, because it's going to be on a compilation that this later, going back to Indonesia, this Indonesian label is putting out. And they're putting out a whole, like, Ramones compilation.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
What, if you don't mind me asking without having to cheat and look it up, what did you end up covering?
Warthog.
Oh, great, great song.
I felt like vocally, I cannot touch anything Joey does.
No.
So I'm like, you know what? What song can I do that's within my quote-unquote range? Because I don't have a range. Just shout. And I love Warthog. And I was like, let's do Warthog.
I think that's an awesome choice. Do you know how many bands are going to be on that comp?
I have no idea. I follow them on Instagram. Actually, they put out an EP on their Bandcamp page, a Scabs EP. And then I hit them up because I saw them post that, hey, we're looking for bands that cover Ramon's song. So, I mean, this was 2 months ago, so they're probably going through it all now.